Hello, this is Mike Burick, your host and producer of Kudenitsa, The Well, a podcast series about interesting and noteworthy Ukrainians from around the globe. Today is Tuesday, April 16th, 2024. Our guest for this episode is Miroslava Gungadze, who is the Voice of America Eastern Europe Chief. This episode is produced for the Ukrainian Weekly, a newspaper published in English for the global Ukrainian community since 1933. Welcome, Miroslava. How are you today?
Thank you for inviting me. Pleasure to be here. Pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. To start off with, can you give us some information about your educational and professional background?
I grew up in a small town, Berezhany, in western Ukraine, and I went to first Lviv State University. I studied law there, and after I emigrated to United States as a political refugee, I had a couple of proposals for scholarships and studying, and I went to George Washington University for a year, as well as Harvard University, and I spent time in National Endowment for Democracy as a scholar as well. So, if all together, that's how much I studied. Probably over 10 years of my life I spent in education institutions.
And how long have you been with the Voice of America?
I joined Voice of America in 2004. And before that, I was a freelance journalist in Washington, D.C. with Radio Liberty. But it's a sister organization of U.S. Agency for Global Media. And I moved to Voice of America because I wanted to experience television, and I wanted to do television. Radio didn't have that opportunity, and Voice of America wanted to open television, daily television broadcasting, and I signed up to help with that. And basically, after half a year of me being there, we started daily chastime broadcasting to Ukraine, and it was the same time when Ukraine Orange Revolution happened, and it was very timely, and Ukrainians needed information from US, about the world the most, and we become very popular.
And looking at the situation with Ukraine now during the Russian invasion, how important is USA to Ukraine at this point?
It's crucial. I actually just finished the story about importance of U.S. Aid for survival of Ukraine. As Ukrainian leaders told us already publicly, that without real, serious, and sustainable Western support for Ukraine, economic and military support, Ukraine would not be able to withstand Russian aggression. And the situation on the Eastern Front deteriorated in the last months or so. And we have seen how a Russian bombardment destroyed critical infrastructure in Ukraine. And Ukraine need defense from the sky. Ukraine needs more ammunition to actually being able to not only defend itself, but liberate the territories. So this is crucial. This support is crucial.
And what is the situation in the U.S. Congress at this point? It's been deadlocked up until now. Will there be any change in that?
It's still deadlocked. We are seeing today, you mentioned when we are recording this, that radical Republicans are opening up a possibility for dismissing a speaker, only because yesterday he announced that he will be putting Ukraine, Israeli, and Taiwan a bill on the table for vote. The plan was for Friday, but already today there are a lot of changes, a lot of movements. We still don't know what Speaker of the House of Representative are offering, because nobody have seen the bill that they are proposing yet. And Congress would have 72 hours to review the bills. But honestly, almost every hour something is changing, something is happening, and we will see. But if Ukraine has a chance to receive support from the US, this week will be the week that that chance is opened. I am afraid that if that will not happen this week, that would delay the support further, and that's almost I mean, that's basically killing Ukraine at this point.
Let's turn to the current situation with Ukraine's Air Force. Is it in a better position now militarily than it was at the beginning of the Russian invasion?
It's very difficult to say. I have been talking to Ukrainian Air Force Command and the fighters and the pilots of bombers and commanders, and we can say that in some way, yes, it is a little better, because Ukrainians were able to first of all gain some of the additional air fleet, and they were able to modernize their fleet with Western weapons, and that gave them ability to actually strike Russian targets much more effectively. However, I have seen the base. I have seen how they work, and they lack of everything. They lack of even simple personal gears for the flights. They are lack of ammunition. They need everything, and obviously Ukraine need F-16s and other air support and air defense systems. And we are still waiting when that will actually happen. And at this point, experts that I'm talking to, that analyzing frontline, they are saying that only technology can push this front that we have right now, and the support from the sky, and not only drones but the airplanes, is a one of the key to that push on the front line.
And is Ukraine gaining an advantage over Russia in the Black Sea with its sea drone technology?
Yes, actually, this is one of the positive development that Ukraine were able to succeed in pushing Russian fleet out of Black Sea. I again have seen the development of the sea drone Magura, and I have been to the training sites. I talked to pilots, and this is unique technology that was developed in Ukraine at the beginning of the full-scale invasion of Ukraine. And we the company developed already, this is like a five prototype of this sea drone, and we know that they can strike any target in the water, and they are very quiet, that when they're coming to the to the Russian target, they are not detectable, easily detectable. So one thing that Ukraine were able to actually succeed, that is the sea drones and against Russia fleet. And my understanding that they are preparing more targets for the Black Sea region at this point.
Mieczysława, early in 2024, Polish farmers began a series of protests and road blockages against Ukraine, including a near total blockade of all Ukrainian border crossings. Why are they doing this, and do you think the situation will be resolved in the near future?
Yes, I actually, that's what I'm doing. I'm here in Eastern Europe to cover this, all these stories and explain it to the world, because as you know, Voice of America has over 300 million viewers and listeners around the globe. So, about Polish farmers, in some way it's a economic issue, and in some way it's a political issue. From the economic standpoint, Ukrainian grains start pouring in across through the border to Poland, and some actors actually use that as an opportunity to make some money. So it's not just we cannot just blame Ukrainian agricultural production for this, but Polish buyers as well. So at some point they start buying Ukrainian grain and basically lowering the price. So that there are some other significant development happened, but that kind of triggered the situation. And Ukrainian drivers who that delivered the grain and other agricultural products, when they were going back empty, they actually used their trucks as well in some way to make some additional money on the way to not waste their empty storage in their cars. So that's a trigger as well. And but it become a political issue, and the farmers start protesting, not without some push from right radical movement here in Poland during political campaign and national election campaign, and then it become a political issue that both sides of the aisle in Polish politics did not want to defend Ukraine. And quite opposite, they actually start making money, asking the European Union to give them more money to compensate for compensation. And same time, they were trying to show that they are supporting their own, meaning farmers. So this what happened, and it's actually, we know that by the end of the year and early February, that become a huge issue, and Ukrainians were not able to move their crops and their agricultural product across Polish border. I have to say that the military supplies, official military supplies from Poland to Ukraine were not halt. They were going steadily. However, there are a lot of different type of products that are part of the military development that private companies would bring, that some of them stuck on the border, and Ukrainians were not able to produce some of the much needed military equipment for the front. So 2 weeks ago, Polish and Ukrainian government had a joint session here in Warsaw, and they were almost very close to resolving this issue. Would it be resolved fully? Hard to say, but they are much closer to resolve it at this point of time. Again, there were political campaign, a local election in Poland, so hopefully after this campaign, it's over now, the issue will be resolved.
Mieczysława, unfortunately, we're just about out of time, but I did want to ask one final question. What have been the major challenges in covering the Russian invasion of Ukraine for the Voice of America?
The major challenge, I would say, funds and security, because we got some supplemental money for Ukrainian coverage, and Ukrainian service were able to significantly increase their staff and coverage. As well as I am here in Poland right now, but we are rotating in and out from Ukraine and covering this war. I crossed the country many times from the east to west and south to north. I've been to Belarusian border and Donbas. I've been to Izum, Kharkiv, Mykolaiv, Odessa, Lviv, everywhere. And our correspondents are working there as well, on the ground. We always have someone, but the challenge is security. We do have to have additional security that requires additional funds, and we have a kind of we are limiting ourselves in ability to be there all the time because of that issue. So far, this is the biggest issue. But Ukrainian, I mean, but Voice of America expanded its Ukrainian coverage and Eastern European coverage as an effect of the war on Eastern European and European politics, almost 100%. So we even have a special page on Central News website that devoted to just for to Ukrainian coverage. So I am actually proud of Voice of America being able to pool the resources and being able to do this job.
And what is the URL for that page that you're talking about with Ukrainian coverage?
Oh my God, one second, I have to look at it. I don't know the URL. I always just open it.
And is the coverage text only, or does it include video and
It's obviously video and then audio. Video, audio. We have daily broadcasting, radio broadcasting. We have a lot of stories and video and audio stories on that page. So if you go on the central page, on the top of the page, you can see U.S. news, Ukraine, press freedom, China, Iran. So if you click on Ukraine, you can see. It's www.voanews.com/flashpoint, and you can see radio programs and all the other coverage. And my latest story about the situation on the front was just published this morning, and it's on the page.
great. Miroslava, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much, and stay strong and resilient, and Ukrainian people are resilient, and I can witness that daily. And I'm very proud of what they are doing there and around the world.
I have been speaking with Miroslava Gungadze, who is the Voice of America Eastern Europe Chief. And I'm Mike Burek, your host and producer of Krynice the Well, a podcast series about interesting and noteworthy Ukrainians from around the globe. This episode is produced for The Ukrainian Weekly, a newspaper published in English for the global Ukrainian community since 1933. Until next time, that's all for now.